Wednesday, 24 February, 16, broadcast of the Calvary Hour. This is the day that the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Thanks for tuning in to the Calvary Hour. This broadcast is a ministry sponsored by the Calvary Baptist Church in New Bern, North Carolina. I'm Bill Wingard, your host speaker. It's a blessing to be able to come to you today by means of radio or the internet or however we're reaching you. We are continuing our series of messages from Ezekiel chapter 8, why God had to go far off from his sanctuary, why he had to send his children into captivity. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 teaches us explicitly that these things are recorded for us. They're there for our example. They're there for our admonition, that we not make the same mistakes and suffer the same consequences. Father, do bless us now with thy words. Speak to my heart, hearts of all of your people, I pray. And Lord, if there be some listening that are not saved today, please, Lord, open their heart. May they open their heart. May they be saved. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Remember in Ezekiel chapter 8, Ezekiel himself was over in Babylon with the people in captivity, but the Lord came over by the Spirit and took him and brought him over to Jerusalem and showed him all the things that was wrong going on in the city and in the temple. And he made this statement, and Father, do bless us now with thy word in Jesus' name. Amen. And he said furthermore unto me, that's God said to Ezekiel, Son of man, seest thou what they do, even the great abominations that the house of Israel committeth here, that I should go far off from my sanctuary. But turn thee yet again, and thou shalt see greater abominations. Dear friend, our desire should be that our Lord be in the midst of us, just as you go to Revelation chapter 1, and you'll find Christ in the midst of the candlesticks, in the midst of the churches. And yet when you come down to Revelation chapter 3 and verse 20, after the Laodicean church age, he's knocking on the outside, trying to get in. And when God made this statement that I should go far off from my sanctuary, I'm telling you, that's a tragic statement, dear friend. Our Lord Jesus Christ has promised us that where two or three are gathered together in his name, there he will be in the midst of us. And our desire should always be that our Lord Jesus Christ, through the blessed Holy Spirit, will be in the midst of us, that he'll not have to go far off from us. May it be noise abroad, and rightly so, when we're meeting together as a people of God, that the Lord is in this house. Oh God, grant it, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. We're looking at the church in Thyatira now, and they had a big problem there because they had a woman there that was allowed to be in that church, and she was teaching the servants of God to commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed unto idols. Idolatry and immorality, of course, going hand in hand. Now, not everybody was involved in that. Verse 24, But unto you I say, and unto the rest in Thyatira, as many as have not this doctrine, which have not known the depths of Satan, as they speak, I will put none other burden upon you, or I will put upon you none other burden. And then I like this 25th verse here also. What a challenge this is. But that which ye have already, hold fast till I come. And he that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron. As the vessels of a potter shall they be broken to shivers, even as I received of my Father. And I will give him the morning star. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. God be praised for these messages to the churches in Asia Minor. And I believe that each of these churches represent a different segment of the church age. And remember once again that these sins were accumulative. Started out with the church at Ephesus growing cold on the Lord and leaving their first love. And then we find all these other problems that get incorporated into the lives of the churches. And the more this happens, the weaker, of course, the church becomes. But in this verse 25 here, but that which ye have already, hold fast until I come. And I'm telling you, dear friend, there's some things we need to be holding fast to today. Now, I'm glad that my faith is secure in the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm glad I'm being held by him. According to his word, by his marvelous grace, we are in his hand as he is in the Father's hand. But there are certain things that we need to be holding fast. And one, of course, is a faithful testimony for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We should be seeking to live for him and by the grace of God not be taken away, swept away with the tide of this age. As other people are dropping out and not being faithful to the Lord and assembling themselves together, may we be more faithful. As some are giving up their Bible, may we be more dedicated to the Word of God. Some are just ceasing to pray. Oh, may we spend more time with Him. In fact, the Bible teaches us that we're to pray without ceasing. You say, well, preacher, you can't do that. You can't keep your eyes closed all the time. Well, dear friend, as you well know, you don't have to close your eyes to pray. We can be in prayer. We can be in an attitude of communion with God. And that's the way we should be, honestly, all of our waking hours. We should be in constant contact with the Lord. Someone has said we ought not to call God in the morning and hang up on him and then go all the rest of the day until nighttime when we go to bed and try to make contact again to pray. No, we should be praying without ceasing. You've heard people say that we ought to be on praying ground, and that's for sure. Again, we should be in constant communion with our Lord. Oh, may we hold fast to God's word. May we hold fast to solid Bible preaching. May we hold fast to good, godly, conservative, Christ-honoring music. May we hold fast to these great truths. And as citizens in this country, may we hold fast to the Constitution of the United States of America. I thank God for our country. I thank God for our Constitution. I thank God for our forefathers. And this is no time to abandon the Word of God, and it's no time to abandon our Constitution either. May God help us to stand, and having done all, to stand. Well, we're going to move on now to the church in Sardis. Remember, these letters were written to the preachers, to the messengers, translated angels here, the messengers of the churches. Five of these churches had to be rebuked, two did not. We have seen that the church in Smyrna did not have to be rebuked because they were a suffering church. We'll find the same thing to be true as far as the church not having to be rebuked and when we get to the church at Philadelphia. But we have one here before we get to the church in Philadelphia, and that is the church in Sardis. And I want to tell you this, dear friend. This church, the message of this church, really speaks to my heart. For here we find a tremendous problem, and one that you can cover over sometime. You can kind of paste this over because of outward appearance. But you know as well as I do, there's a difference between inward reality and outward appearance. And unto the angel or the messenger of the pastor at the church in Sardis write, these things saith he that hath the seven spirits of God and the seven stars, I know thy works, that thou hast a name, that thou livest and art dead. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die, for I have not found thy works perfect before God. Remember therefore how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt know what hour I will come upon thee. But thou hast a few names, even in Sardis, which have not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. Now, we'll be coming back to this as we come down verse by verse through the message to the church at Sardis. But you see the great problem with the church at Sardis. They had a good reputation, but their spiritual life had dried up and died. And you catch this? He says, I know thy works, that thou hast a name, that thou livest and art dead. And he has got some tremendous instruction for all of us. Well, this broadcast is targeted for midweek, and I hope you're making plans to be in a good fundamental Bible-believing church this midweek time. It's so important. For those of you who cannot, if you have access to the internet, let me encourage you to join us. Our services are all Eastern time, and we're at 7 o'clock on Wednesday night. We have the services streamed live, or you can go into our archives for any of our services. You can reach us at www.calbat, C-A-L-B-A-T, bapt.org. www. And like you abbreviate in Calvary Baptist, calbapt.org. Please join us next broadcast if you can.